Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Hidaka Aikuto. Onegai shimashita.
What? Oja Ganamata. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Welcome to your October 4th edition of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and well, we have a new sponsor.
We do.
If you haven't heard, we're being sponsored by the awesome TweakedAudio.com, so go to their website, check them out. They've got some pretty bitchin' headsets. I actually kind of want the wooden ones. They're pretty cool looking. So check them out, buy their stuff, tell them we sent you. Do they still have their promo code?
It's Wild Talk or WTR. Use the promo code and you can save on your order at tweakedaudio.com.
Woohoo! So, as you can hear, I am joined by my, of course, awesome producer, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, that is me. It is me, the awesome producer that I am.
That you are, yes. Well, I keep getting you clips for that, you know. I just.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway, I'm sure it pads your ego late at night. Anyway, we are, as I'm sure everybody's heard, waiting for Christopher Daniels, Mr. Deliciously Sexy himself. So, as we wait, why don't we go over some news?
We should go over the news, but first, what's our question of the night?
Oh, that's right. Our question of the night is as follows. Fantasy booking. What is your WWE versus TNA dream match or dream card? So everybody give that a thought. You can tweet it to us at Wild Talk Radio, at Lens Ward. You can place it here in our chat right here on WildTalkRadio.com for all our wonderful listeners over at PWMania.com. Or you can email them to us at media@WildTalkRadio.com.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I think you got it all, yeah.
I'm almost getting as bad as you.
Because we talk a lot, and you know, it just, you know, things happen.
Yeah, I'm becoming. He's turning me into a shill.
I am, and I'm happy about that too.
Yes, well, you know, not everybody on this network can do it right. That's why we're awesome here. Just, you know.
And yes, Pierce, we got yours earlier. They were good.
Yeah, well, we're going to be reading them all on the air at the end of the show when we talk about the question of the night. So that's why we ask people to send them in. It's because we give you a little shout out when we read your answers on the air. So now, can we get to the news?
Yes, let's get to the news. I know you're impatient. You want to talk about things, so let's talk about things.
I want to talk about Christopher Daniels, but he's not here yet.
He's not here yet, but let's talk about the news.
Well, I think, first of all, the kind of interesting news coming out of today is, well, Steve Austin and CM Punk kind of teased a match in a sit-down interview with JR, and amazingly enough, the video got pulled.
Apparently, they're kind of trying to they according to sources, they're going to put the audio back, the video back up at some point. This was not the final product.
Yeah, it's basically, it was on the YouTube account of WWE Games, and it's about 11 minutes long, and it was a highly anticipated interview between Stone Cold Steve Austin and CM Punk, where JR was moderating, so a lot of people were wanting to see it. And it was actually shot over SummerSlam weekend. And it mainly centered around Austin facing Punk in WWE 13, but it also kind of teased a kind of anticipated and kind of wanted match between the two, potentially at WrestleMania.
It's the matchup everyone wants to see.
And we'll probably never get it, but... WWE Games put it up, and then, well, they took it down.
It went viral really quick. I was looking for it this afternoon. I was like, oh, it's already gone. God damn it, I should have watched it this morning.
Gone faster than the...
the Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night.
Appreciation Night. Which was gone in an hour.
Yeah, it was.
That's okay. We got the auto from it. It's awesome.
Yeah, we did.
Go Rock Go.
Yeah. It's called Stalk YouTube, Stalk YouTube, Stalk YouTube.
Constantly.
Hour after hour.
Until he sends us all an email the next morning. I was up all night. I got the Shawn Michaels tribute. But, yeah, so I guess kind of another odd piece of news is Mr. Belding turned down WWE?
Say what?
According to Dennis Mr. Belding Haskins, he spoke with ESPN.com about his independent wrestling work and says he turned down a deal from WWE. I'm friends with Mike The Miz from WWE and his friend Zack Ryder, who also is also in WWE. I was talking with them about a role, but I didn't really want to be on the road 5 days a week. I'm an actor first.
All I have to say is, well...
It seems like only yesterday we started.
The graduation theme.
But soon we'll put away our books.
Yes.
Let's let this play a minute.
We'll go on with our lives once we have parted. But how can we say farewell to our friends? The double days, the parties, and the dances. Cramming for a midterm until three.
The football games, the max, and the romances.
It kind of scares me you have that, one, on your computer, and two, you had it queued up.
I quickly went to it as you brought up the story.
That's terrifying, dude.
That's why I'm the most awesomest producer ever. I'm on the ball.
You are on the ball. I will give you that, yeah. But,
I'm prepared
well,
for this shit.
Yes, you do. Well, apparently, someone who isn't on the ball is Brodus Clay.
What about him?
Seems Vince McMahon has supposedly soured on the character, and, well, he may get another gimmick change. The same thing is also being said for Tensai. WWE officials had big hopes for Tensai when he returned to the WWE earlier this year, but plans for his push have been nixed. Well, gee, if you wanted something to happen with Tensai, maybe you should have, I don't know, done something with him other than kill people. Same thing with Brodus Clay. If you had actually, you know, put him in a feud from the get-go rather than have his dancers come out and shake their asses as he's killing someone, it might have done a little better.
Yeah, it was clear on Monday, even though they were running behind on Monday, it was kind of clear that he got squashed on Monday. He was the one squashing people for 6 months, and now he got squashed. It's a sign that Vince is falling out of love with him.
For him and Tensai both, because he faced Cesaro, and Tensai faced Ryback, and they both lost. Although, I will give mad props to Antonio Cesaro for deadlifting Brodus Clay. That was impressive as hell.
That really was impressive. I will say that. That was
especially
really
seeing
impressive.
As a Ryback couldn't even get Tensai up on his shoulders. Just saying.
Yeah, well. That's what happens when you do it live on Raw and SmackDown. You impress Vince McMahon once. Oh, you could do it once? Great. Now do it again. But Vince, I can't do it again. Do it again!
Yeah. So, well. Such a shame. All I can say is poor Brodus Clay. Because after this gimmick, if they try to turn him back into a monster, they're going to have a really tough time.
Yeah, he may be on the future endeavored list. If something does still exist.
Yeah, I mean, their best bet, I guess, if they're going to do that, is to take him off TV for a bit, or have him go nuts or something, or he gets clonked in the head. They could turn him into a monster and he could join the Anger Buddies. Just hug everyone.
the hugging Funkasaurus.
That sounds like a porno.
You don't want to go there about pornos tonight, do you? Because we could.
Who's got a porno coming out now?
Well, it's not a porno, more like a sex tape.
Oh, God.
What you gonna do, brother? The Hogan sex tape is released, brother. Oh.
Oh. Brother.
There's video of it online already, brother.
Oh, I saw the wrestling memes of him sitting on the bed, and it's just like, who would want to watch that?
Apparently,
apparently, to take a shot every time he says brother.
There's a minute clip of it on Gawker.com at the moment. Tim watched it. No.
Why am I not surprised Tim watched it?
That was the first comment he made to me today. He went, oh my god, and then showed me the story.
Tim, I worry about you sometimes. I really do.
He's big into the Hulkster porn. I don't know why, but he is. It's a
as long
thing.
As it's not the China porn.
I think he's into that as well.
Oh dear. Are we going to have to have another intervention, Tim?
I think we might have to intervene with this whole Hulk Hogan porn obsession he has. It's just, I don't know. It's all on him. It's his obsession. I don't know.
Ha! And Omega just sums it up perfectly. And porn is ruined forever.
Hi, Omega.
Hi, Omega. You know, if you're going to make comments, you really should call in and join in on the show. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge. But yeah, you know, Hulk Hogan porn, it's a Tim Stein thing. Maybe it's because he wants to star in one with him. I don't know.
Ew. That made me throw up a little. Don't ever say that again.
They're both the same age.
No. I don't want to see Hulk Hogan naked.
You want to see Tim Stein naked?
No! No offense! Now, James Storm, if we can get him naked. Actually, I have naked pictures of him somewhere. I need to go find those.
Hey, now. But yeah, so. There's your vomit moment of the week here on the rack. Transition out of that one.
I hate you. I'd like to transition and say Christopher Daniels is calling, but he still hasn't called yet.
2.5 hours between smokes, Tim. Good job. Congratulations.
Yay!
Am I now driving you to smoke because I mentioned you in a porno with Hulk Hogan?
You realize now that this is becoming a quick hits question, right? Cast yourself and Hulk Hogan in a porno. And what would you call it?
Apparently that drive him to smoke dope. Him being in a porno with Hogan. So, it's possible for it to happen then, right, Tim? Since we just gotta get you doped up to do it with Hogan.
Oh, all we gotta do is get him high? Somebody call Evan Bourne.
No, Tim. It's not for Omega. It's for you. You got fair warning right now. Because Omega's listening. No fun for Omega if he's listening. He's screaming, not a fucking chance in hell.
You're answering it on Sunday, whether you want to or not. Come up with answers. We'll be waiting. Just saying.
He's now doing the Daniel Bryan. No, no, no.
Boo.
Sorry, Tim.
Yes, yes, yes.
So can we get a collection started to see how much money we can raise to get Tim Steiner into a star in a porno with Hulk Hogan?
No.
No?
Because I don't want that to... I don't want to live on that planet anymore if that happens. And I'm transitioning out of this right now. With the new WWE 13 information.
Not a good transition, but let's go with it anyhow.
How the hell do you transition out of Tim Steiner being in a porno with Hulk Hogan? How do you do that?
I got you to bring it up back up again, so I win.
But did you get Tim to bring it up again?
That's Hulk Hogan's job, brother.
Oh, gross. Anyway, WWE 13 has released a new trailer for the game, and they have also released new information concerning their DLCs, what packs, when they're going to be available. And this includes Superstars, Legends, Attitude Era, Luminaries, Moves, Alternate Attires, and more for the DLC packs, and they're going to be coming out on October 30th, 2012.
The DLCs will be spread out from October to June. January.
Yeah, the game comes out on October 30th, which, go buy it, and also go to CastyRiley.net, because he was a part of the game. I'm not going to say what he did, but he was a part of it, and go buy his shit. And congratulations on the new baby.
That's a shameless shill. She's getting good.
Yeah. But yes, WWE 13 is out October 30th, and I was looking at the stuff last night, because Rock and I were flipping through all the pictures and the trailers and that kind of thing. And even though they gave the Undertaker nipple rings, I kind of want to see... I kind of want to get the game. And I'm not a gamer. If you know me, I am so not a gamer, but I really kind of want to get the game.
She really isn't a gamer. She doesn't have a system. It's like... So if you want Lindsay to become a gamer, please donate and we can buy her a system.
Preferably an Xbox.
She wants an Xbox, so, you know, send all donations.
Ha! Good one, Omega.
What did he chime in with?
And playing the role of Hulk Hogan, a Nahagahide sofa. Sorry, I can't talk tonight.
I thought we were done with the Hulk Hogan stuff. Tim screaming, fucking quit it.
Hey, you know what? I didn't bring that up. Omega brought that up. So yell at him.
Yeah. Yeah. Blame Omega, the other Canadian.
Anyway, if you want to see the trailers and you want to see some of the pictures, you can go to our wonderful sponsor, PWMania.com, and check out their news page. It's up. They've got the story up on their site, including the YouTube link to the video. I'm just going to go right around...
Oh, I love this show tonight. I love the interaction.
You know what?
See, they're big Skype screamers or commenters, but they don't have the balls to call in and yell on the air.
Omega, what do you mean you don't need to call in, Omega? You can't. But the jokes have so much more impact if you call in and say them, especially if Tim's not on the phone. You can poke him from afar.
Poke, 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 poke the bear.
Remember, we have to get these pokes in before you go away for work, Tim. They're not as much fun if you're not here.
Love the show. Anyway, by the way, this is The Rack, presented by TweakedAudio.com. Heard around the world on WildTalkRadio.com and PWMeeting.com if you're just tuning in for the first time. We're having some fun tonight.
Yeah, we do have a prep show, and we will get to it, but we have some of our other network buddies bugging us because they refuse to call in because they're wusses.
They can't handle this show. The popularity of this show, they just can't handle it.
No, you see, they don't love us.
That's possibly true, too. Anyway, what else is in the news?
Well, in the news, CM Punk was on WGN Morning News today to talk about his new DVD that comes out, I believe, next week.
It does.
And Rock and I were fortunate we were able to get our hands on a sneak peek of at least the documentary, and it, I haven't been able to watch it all the way through yet, but Rox, would you care to give it a quick thought on it?
Awesome.
You?
You said quick. It was awesome.
So, yes, so...
it's really good. It's different than most of the documentaries they've done in the past. You could tell CM Punk really had influence into the creation of it. Different music than you're used to hearing, the way the interviews are conducted, it's a little bit different. It's a great, and then it really builds up him before he came to WWE. They spent a lot of time talking about his past, which is really good. So check it out. CM Punk, Best in the World, available Tuesday. Get it at WWEShop.com or your local video place you go to, like Best Buy or something.
Oh, Pierce, man, why did you watch it?
Why did you watch the Tim Steinhall Coke and Porn?
Oh, you poor bastard.
I'm sorry.
Medic! We need a medic!
And you know Kane Kins, who's going to have to recap all this later when he... I think he's at school at the moment. So he's going to have to recap this later. He's going to be like, I'm sitting there listening to them talk about Hulk Hogan and Tim in a porno. Why do I do this again?
Because you love us, and we're awesome.
And he's probably going there like, God damn it, I should be there. I have so many jokes I could make, but I'm not there.
Yeah. I think that's what he's more going to be kicking himself, is the fact that we're sitting here poking the bear constantly, and he's not here to join in on the fun.
And he can't poke the bear.
And he can't poke the bear.
Yeah, he can't poke the bear. Anyway, but I'll transition. Raw ratings was down this week.
Oh my God, were they down?
The lowest in 15 years?
Jeez.
They were saying, they were predicting it would be low, but whew, you just hear that the lowest in 15 years goes back to like 1997, and it's like, we're in a scary spot right now when it comes to the ring. Even though if you go around all of cable, they're like the fifth highest show for the night. Even though they're doing low numbers, they were like fifth highest show of the evening. It's like, in, you know, comparison to everything else, the show's doing well, but in WWE mind, they're like, this is kind of low. Now, the question is it 3 hours that's doing it, or is it football? What could it possibly be?
Well, if you look at their ratings, consistently what they do, at least if I remember from these past week, is that they're fine for the first 2 hours, or they're fine for 2 hours,
right,
and then they lose in that third.
That does seem like that has been the pattern where they do go down. But tonight, this week's pattern was weird. Since they were behind, everything was off a little bit. So, you know, the 10 p.m. time slot lost actual numbers, but the segment that was supposed to be on at 10, which was on at 10:15, actually gained a lot of viewers. For the Jim Ross Appreciation Night, that gained viewers. So it's like...
It was supposedly the highest rated segment of the evening. But we want to know the real news. How did the Anger Buddies do?
They gained, at the end, the ending main event gained 532,000 people at the end, which is decent for them at the end of the show. It's not great. But yeah, it's begging the question, should they go back to 2 hours?
I think they should, just because they don't seem to know how to book 3 hours, and they kind of figured out, and they kind of didn't.
They seem like they're booking a 2-hour show and just extending it for 3 hours.
Because, I mean, the one positive in the 3-hour Raws is that the matches are longer, and they're getting more time. So people are getting more exposed, but it's filling the spots in between the matches that they're not quite sure of how to do it. Because it's like, holy crap, we have 3 hours of Raw, we now have to fill every week as opposed to 2 hours.
Right, and they're not using the time the way they should. They could be making star more, they could be giving opportunities to more people with that time slot that they're not, and they're not, so.
Because as we saw this week, as we call the black hole of suck, started in the second hour and went for at least 30 or 45 minutes before it really started getting good again.
And it all started with the debate. God, that debate. Ooh, that was bad.
That was awful.
But don't worry, they'll talk about it Sunday. We should have them debate on Sunday. I think we should do a debate on an actual debate, not the great debate, but have Tim Omega and Mace debate a question or two on the show.
Ooh, that would be fun.
What could we have them debate?
Ponies?
Do you guys want to hear them debate ponies? If you do, tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. Come into our chat room and give us a topic you want us to hear them debate on Sunday. It shouldn't be wrestling. Let's have them do something off the wall.
Yes. Tweet us your ideas. Email them to us at Wild Talk Radio, media@wildtalkradio.com. They could be wrestling, they could be non-wrestling. Whatever you want, we're going to make them debate.
I like this. I like this. I like torturing them now.
This is kind of fun.
Yeah, because they can't stop us, can they?
Well, they can try. They can yell at us.
But, you know, what's yelling going to do?
Yeah, and yes, Omega, I agree. It was pretty sad that Big Show's podium decided to commit suicide halfway through the debate. But I'm sure it's better for it. That's some quality props right there, my friend.
Yeah. We should talk about the one other story about Sean Daivari before we get a break.
We should. And this was the one news item we actually listed in our preview.
Tell them about it.
Well, Sean Daivari's a bit of a hero this week. It seems that he was on his way to the airport after visiting family in Minneapolis, and, well, he encountered an odd situation.
Did he now?
He did. It seems that there was a crazy man on the train making anti-Semitic and racist remarks, and, well, he started threatening to kill people on this train. Now, mind you, people were pushing the emergency call buttons and the emergency stop buttons. Not only did the train not stop until after Sean Daivari had acted, but there were no cops. Way to protect people, folks.
Yeah.
Makes me feel so safe.
I know, right? Makes me feel so safe.
But, anyway, Sean Daivari saw the guy get up in somebody else's face. He started threatening to kill him. And rather than stand by, he walked up to the guy that was making threats, put him in a rear naked chokehold, took him out, and then put him in a scissor lock until the train came to a stop.
Good for Sean Daivari standing up, being a hero.
Go him!
Yes, go Sean Daivari.
Yay!
There's a big feature on it on WWE.com. It was on TMZ.com. It was all over the interweb. So if you haven't heard the full story, go check it out. He gave an interview to WWE.com, which was really good.
Yeah. So on that note, I think we're going to take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
Works for me.
So we will be right back right here on The Rack, brought to you by TweetAudio.com and PWMania.com. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Impact. quite an interesting show tonight, so stay tuned and we will be right back.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer. Shut up. Shut up. For the trunk rub parts.
Why do you think Rob can't do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, look, Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait, what?
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
Right. I'm Rob Buzz, your godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everybody on WildTalkRadio.com, this is Johnny Cashmere. I'm here to tell you about the debut of my brand new show. That's right, Johnny Cashmere's Wake Up Call debuts this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to talk paranormal, we're going to talk consciousness, spirit, physics, ufology, and so much more. If it's on the fringe, we're going to talk about it. I'm expecting from this year's Big Brother on CBS, Ashley Ioko. We're going to talk some Zen, as well as special guest from Ancient Aliens on the History 2 Network. It's Michael Cremo. We're going to talk Forbidden Archaeology. Send in your questions and get ready this Friday for Profundity Personified.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR.
You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from. So Tweaked Audio
has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Kook Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty f***ing sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, tweaked classic, tweaked parkour, and tweaked natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by TweakedAudio.com and PWMania.com. You just like Anderson's theme?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Are you stepped away from your computer for a second? Ah, okay.
Yeah.
By the way, in case anybody out there is a football fan, which we are here, of course... the Rams wrap up a victory over the Cardinals. Something, something to 3.
17-3, I believe the final was.
Thank you. So, no surprise there, even though I picked Arizona to lose, because that's what Yahoo said was going to happen. Or Arizona to win, even though that's what Yahoo said was going to happen, they lost.
Yahoo is not always right. You gotta realize that. People are not.
Dude, on the internet. Everything on the internet is right. Don't you know this?
Tim's not right, and he's on the air.
Okay, point. So, anyway, well, let's talk a little Impact.
Right, let's talk a little bit about TNA Impact Wrestling. Live on Spike TV.
Bound for Glory is 10 days away, and the pay-per-view is starting to shape up rather nicely.
It is.
They named a few more matches this evening, including what is probably going to be one of the big matches. Well, Aces and Eights, assuming Steve from Wyoming, the Armbreaker, and I'm guessing it's going to be Little Bunny Fufu or Pookie, I'm not sure which one, are going to face off against two of TNA's finest. So the future Hall of Famer Sting and a partner of his choosing. And well, that's what we opened the show with tonight.
We did. We opened with them talking backstage about who's it going to be?
Who's it going to be, brother? Who's going to be Sting's partner at Bound for Glory? And well, Sting's not sure, especially since apparently everybody in the back wants to be a part of it.
Yeah, everyone wants to be a part of this big matchup, teaming with a Hall of Famer to get rid of the Aces and Eights. Hogan wants him to put a bullet in him.
He wants him to take it out because it's so personal. But Sting says he's going to make his decision at the end of the night after scouting all the talent in their matches. Because he wants to see who has fire.
Yes. Who has the fire? Who has the determination to take out these men?
To which you could insert a CM Punk joke here. Does the fire still burn?
Well, there's a Lita joke that could be made there about CM Punk and burning, but we're not going to go there. Let's go on.
Let's leave Carpet Burns out of this, shall we? The porno was at the beginning of the show. Anyway, TNA also lets us know that Samoa Joe is going to defend his newly acquired TV title against the one, the only RVD. But first, before we get that, well, we got interrupted by some asshole.
Yeah, the asshole showed up and did his little entrance, and he's going to be on our first matchup of the evening against Gunner?
Yeah. It was Mr. Anderson versus Gunner in a pretty nice match. It wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen, but it was a nice...
They were trying to establish Anderson as one of the threats to, team with Sting against the Aces and Eights. And he was able to beat Gunner after taking a little bit of beating. He came back and took him out and took out Cash after the match. It worked.
It totally worked.
They need to do something with Mr. Anderson, and I guess reestablishing him as an asshole badass works.
Yeah, and, well, it must have worked because Sting gave his approval in the back.
He did.
But after this, we had Tara, who was on the phone with her secret boyfriend. Apparently Stacy and George canceled. How rude.
Do you hear they might be breaking up?
They might be breaking up.
Oh, my God.
Which hold on, let me get my shock face.
Where's the tissue?
It's true love.
They're going to break up. I don't want to see these two lovebirds break up. It'd be so sad.
I'm just trying to figure out who's using who and for what, and part of me doesn't want to know. Anyway, Gail Kim comes up and breaks up the phone call because, well, their match is next. Tara asks Kim if she wants to go on a double date after Bound for Glory since they both have famous boyfriends. Kim rejects the idea, saying if Tara wins, she's next for the title. Gail stormed off, and Tara wonders what Tori and A-Rod are doing.
Hmm.
I guess they're going to name drop every female professional wrestler that's dating a famous celebrity or vice versa.
I think that's all the people that are.
Who's John Cena dating?
I don't think they can name drop John Cena.
Okay.
But I don't think there's... Unless she wants to start name dropping Bellas, I guess. I don't know. Or, I don't know.
Well, one of the Bellas is dating Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Which I would actually be interested to see how that relationship works. Because they don't strike me as the eco-friendly, hippy-dippy, trippy type, but okay. The man wears a wooden watch, for God's sakes.
He's Daniel Bryan. He's out there. He's different.
And he has a great beard. He's also handsome.
But anyway.
Anyway, moving on. Christy Hemme introduces Gail and Tara, and they put over the Tess Marquardt-Tara feud, and then, well, we finally got what we've been asking for. We got a little bit more ODB.
We did, and it's strange to see her team with Miss Tess Marquardt. That seems like an odd pairing when they came out.
One of them's got to know what they're doing.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know, Miss Tess Marquardt seemed to try to, like... really amp it up when she was with ODB. It seemed weird.
It is weird, but yeah, it's... What's interesting to note is that there were 5 girls in this match, and 4 of them were ex-WWE divas.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then there's ODB. So, if you're wondering where the WWE's women's division went, look in TNA.
And then where did the TNA women's division go? They went to the Indies.
check WCU or Shimmer. I'm sure they will be there eventually. Or Ring of Honor.
Or FWE or wherever they're at now.
Anyway, we should probably get back to the match, but it was actually a very good match.
Well, you had people who can wrestle and Ms. Tessmacher, so, you know, it had to be a good match.
Oh, I know. It was, it's kind of still surprising when you get good women's matches on TV because, well, you don't really ever get good women's matches. So it's a nice surprise when you do actually see one.
Yeah, they do. It's nice when they do. And this was a good one. We saw Tara push Kim into Tessmacher. And then hit the Widow's Peak for the victory.
Yeah, so Gail Kim and Tara pick up the win, and it continues to push the feud further, which I'm always for. And I guess we're going to get to see Tara versus Miss Tessmacher at Bound for Glory.
And that does seem like the matchup that's been booked. I don't know if they've officially announced it, but that seems what the direction they are headed.
Oh, look, John Laurinaitis' nephew is on the post-game show.
Okay.
Just...
shiny things pop up and you go, ooh, look at that.
Ooh, shiny.
Shiny, look
football
at that.
Football player.
I
saw the last name, Laurinaitis, and then I remembered, oh yeah, his nephew plays for the Rams.
And yes, Ms. Tessmacher and Tara has been officially announced for the pay-per-view.
Yes.
I went to the Bound for Glory website. I made sure.
And if not, well, it's was going to happen. Just saying, folks. Sorry.
Anyway,
are you going to pick up at all?
Yeah, I'll go. Backstage, we had Bruce Pritchard and Al Snow talking a little bit, and they had some papers, and Al Snow had to go out and do something. What was it? Well, he came to the ring and, well, introduced Joey Ryan.
No!
Yes, Joey Ryan came to the ring all smiling, the porn star himself. Joey Ryan comes down to the ring. Snow started talking about how he's about striking Joey Ryan, and then he apologized to Joey Ryan on behalf of TNA management. But Joey Ryan wanted more. He wanted Al Snow to actually say sorry. And eventually, Al Snow said he was sorry to Joey Ryan, and, well, Joey Ryan called him pathetic. And he manipulated Snow and the fans. He said, tonight's about him. It's not about anyone else. He brought up the agreement the two had come up with. And this is where Al Snow gave him that contract. Gave him the contract to sign. It's Joey Ryan is going to be a part of the TNA roster. He's so happy to sign this contract. He wanted Al Snow to turn around so he could sign it on his back. Then he did sign the contract and, well... it wasn't what Joey Ryan expected.
Well, what was it?
It was a one-night-only contract for a match at Bound for Glory against Al Snow. Al Snow warned him. He said, read the contract. Read it.
He did.
But he didn't. He just signed the contract. Now, it will be Al Snow and Joey Ryan at Bound for Glory. And Al Snow basically says... he's going to beat Joey Ryan's ass in Phoenix.
To which I'm really kind of jealous because it will be awesome to see Al Snow get back in the ring again.
Yeah, it will. Be good to see him. It's good. It's a big showcase for him. So, yes, yeah, so this set up the match, and it's like, okay, Joey Ryan's back. It's like, oh, okay. Not overly. I'm not the biggest Joey Ryan fan. I'm not one of the 87 percenters. So, he's got to impress me.
Yeah.
He had one match for them and it wasn't that great. So, it's like, okay. We'll see what
happens.
No, go ahead.
I think he has a good character. It's just, it kind of, there's a lot of what he's doing right now around. So, it's kind of like, eh. I've seen people do it better. I've seen people do it worse.
Yeah.
So, he's alright, but... if anybody can get a good match out of him, it's Snow.
Yeah, I'll still get a good match out of him. So we'll see what happens at Battle for Glory when the two meet up.
Grrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr Well, hopefully it'll be at least a good match.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it's his chance to shine. It's a make it or break it for Joey Ryan, basically. Prove that he's worth what they're doing. Because it's really dragged out. It's like, this could have been done months ago. If people think the Aces and Eights storyline has been dragged out, this one's been dragged out longer.
Yeah, Aces and Eights has nothing on Joey Ryan. And speaking of Aces and Eights, well, Kurt Angle and Stu were having a conversation about them in the back.
Were they?
They were. They said, Kurt said he has no problem pulling double duty and volunteers his services to Sting. Meanwhile, the World Tag Team Champions of the World, Kazarian and Danis, are watching in the shadows. Sting says he needs someone that has their mind clear. He knows Angle can pull double duty, and he'll think about it. Angle starts leaving, but Bully Ray cuts him off. They stare down before Angle leaves. Ray says he should be in the world title match at Bound for Glory, but he's not. He's not because of the Aces and Eights. He wants them worse than anyone else does, and asks Sting what he has to do to convince him to let him be his partner at Bound for Glory. Well, Sting tells him if he wants it, then he's going to have to make something happen tonight, and he's going to have to impress him.
Ooh, I wonder what he's going to do to impress him.
I don't know. But Sting wants some Ray to find someone to do something with, and Sting then screams, "I need a bully, I'm pissed," as they go to a commercial break.
When they came back for commercial break, we had what you mentioned earlier, the television championship. Samoa Joe defended his newly won title against Omega's favorite wrestler of all the times, Rob Van Dam.
Hoo-hoo!
Good match.
It was. Well, I mean, it's Samoa Joe and RVD. How can you possibly go wrong?
Well, it's TNA.
Yeah, but TNA, you know...
It's TNA. Things can always go wrong.
Yeah, but not with these two guys.
Well, when Samoa Joe's on his game, yes. Nothing could really go wrong between them.
Yeah.
He was on his game, and he was... Van Dam had him down, but he went up for the five-star Fox Brush and got caught, and Joe hit the Muscle Bustler for the 1, 2, 3.
Woo-hoo!
So yeah, Samoa Joe keeps his title. Then we go backstage. AJ Styles is arguing with Chavo and Hernandez over what happened last week. And, you know, Daniels and Kazarian stirred the pot.
We should notice hashtag Appletini in this.
Yeah. There was the Appletini. Apparently, Christopher Daniels has his own bartender. That's right by his side at all times. I believe his name is Rochester.
That's where they come from.
Yeah, he's his own personal bartender.
Is it the bartender that's in everybody's fridge? I'm just curious.
It might just be, but... Anyway, they were stirring up the pot about Kurt Angle and how he doesn't want to even be in this match.
He doesn't want to be in the... How can he not want to be in the match? He's wrestling the World Tag Team Champions of the World, the greatest... Oh, wait, that's Austin Aries. You know what? We need to have a match between Daniels and Austin Aries to decide who the greatest that man that ever lived was. Because I'm pretty sure it's Christopher Daniels. But anyway, he's in a match with the World Tag Team Champions of the World. What more could you want?
This is true. This is very true. So yeah, we had that, and so stirring the pot continues between them.
It does. But we then cut to a promo with Dixie Carter where she talks about her most favorite Bound for Glory moment, which is when Sting won the world title in 2005. And she touts the fact that major memories are made at that pay-per-view every year. Then we see a video of King Mo arriving. Yay.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I just can't hide it for King Mo.
Yeah. Anyway. We'll get to King Mo. Don't worry.
We're going
to
get there. But anyway, yeah. Then we went backstage with Austin and Aries talking about what happened last week. They got interrupted right away by the bully. Who wanted
What's
to prove
he doing interrupting people?
He's trying to prove himself. So he wants, you know, he was deciding which one he should challenge. And he challenged Jeff Hardy, and this, well, provoked Aries. He got a little upset that Ray didn't challenge him. And, you know, they talked about, bully said, he already beat you. So he wanted to fight Jeff Hardy. But then, then Hardy says, let's have a triple threat match tonight. Bully Ray accepted, and Austin Aries went, how dare you make my matches for me? How dare you? He didn't like that fact.
This is what happens when you leave your fate in somebody else's hands. Just saying.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Anyway, after this, we move on to the next match of the evening, where we had one-on-one Chavo Guerrero with Hernandez taking on Kurt Angle with AJ Styles. It was an okay match.
It was okay. It wasn't. I don't know. Again, I'm gonna keep. I feel like I'm repeating myself on this show. I lose interest with Chavo.
I'm fine with Chavo. I'm getting a little sick, and this is no ill will meant towards the Guerrero family or disrespect meant towards the Guerrero family, but I'm getting really sick of them, you know, pointing out that he is a Guerrero and talking about the lineage and the fact that they point out that Hector Guerrero is sitting over at the Spanish announce table.
Yeah, they do that every time. It's like, oh, jeepus.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the first time he was in the company, that was great. It was wonderful. It was great to point it out. Show Hector. It was wonderful. But they do it every time he comes out. And it's just a little annoying because it makes Chavo feel like that's all he is. When we know he's more.
Yes, we know he's more than that.
I've said it before and I'll keep saying it. I really wish Chavo would get his own identity.
But I think it's too late for that.
I think it is too, but I wish it. And actually, there was a really great bit backstage that kind of sort of summed it up between Kaz and Christopher Daniels. Yes, we're going to be mentioning him a lot. Where they were talking about the Guerrero and the Guerreros, and they're trying to figure out who Chavo was related to and how the family tree works out. It was actually really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that was on the backstage pass thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on the YouTube show.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you don't watch it, watch the YouTube show during Impact. It is very, very, very entertaining. Because it's basically Jeremy Borash standing there with a camera and a live mic, and people just walk in.
Yeah, pretty much.
And do whatever the hell they want. It's awesome.
The best part, I don't know if it's the best part, it was the creepy part as well. You have Daniel standing there with JB and Kazarian. He's drinking his Appletini and rubbing his belt.
He likes to rub his belt.
It's his thing, apparently.
I'm pretty sure that belt would have a smile on its face. If it had a face. Gets a lot of special attention. And all I can say is he can walk down the ramp like he did last week, every week. I was totally okay with that.
You would have been totally okay with what he was doing tonight.
Oh, I saw it. Believe me, I was. It was totally fine. He can continue, as the man said. He's. I forget. Oh fuck! What did he say? Sexually satisfying or sexually tasty or something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines.
I forget now, but it was. They're the only tag team that caters to women. It's awesome.
Makes Lindsay very happy.
It does. Not that happy, but really happy. So get your minds out of the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
They weren't in the gutter till now.
Yeah, sorry. Chavo wins the match. He rolled Angle up for a quick 1-2-3, and then after the match, we have Hernandez and Chavo and Angles and Styles kind of getting into it. Kaz and Daniels appear on the ramp and are happy with what they've done. The faces stop fighting, and Chavo says those belts belong to them. Chavo and Hernandez then embrace in the ring, and Chavo soaks up the Eddie Guerrero love with the Eddie Guerrero shimmy and a point to the sky. So yeah, and yes, by the way, Pierce Man, Daniel's shirt was awesome. I want it. I want to know where he got it.
We got hype for King Mo a little bit, that he's going to be appearing later in the show, but before that, out of nowhere, we get an X Division Championship match. Douglas Williams takes on Zema Ion.
Isn't he a little too heavy to be doing the X Division?
No, he's a former X Division, multi-time X Division champion.
Oh, okay. He's just really stocky.
Yes. I remember it's about no weight. I don't know. I guess they're back to no weight limits. I don't know.
I have no idea. I can't keep track anymore.
I forget, but yeah, it should be back to no limits because that's what it was before.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had a match. Basically, they put over Zema Ion as a dangerous threat.
Yeah. Zema Ion was out there, so you know I wasn't really paying attention.
Zema Ion won the match, but the referee reversed the decision after he went and let go of the hold. So Douglas Williams beat Zema Ion via disqualification, I guess, is the way to do it. And yeah, Zema talked about how dangerous he was after the matchup.
Yeah, and how he didn't want to be Sting's choice because, well, he didn't want to risk his pretty face. Honey, I got news for you. You're not pretty.
Backstage, we had Bruce Pritchard and D'Lo Brown talking. Bruce Pritchard was showing him a video of Matt Morgan hitting his move, the carbon footprint, at a house show on a referee. Pritchard was wondering, how'd you let this happen? You were there. I was running. I was running the show and I got him out before and I didn't see him come back. Basically, Pritchard told him never to let this happen again.
Which means Matt Morgan is coming back.
Yes.
And in the promo brought to you by Truvy's Hair Salon, Cowboy James Storm is out next with his very pretty curled hair.
I'm not sure to say. I don't know. I'll let you go with it.
I'm sorry. I can't get over his hair. A man's hair should not be that pretty. It looks like a prom do. Okay?
He did get his hair all fancied.
I'm sorry, it did. Because he normally walks out either with it in a ponytail or just pull back and, you know, just his bangs pulled back. No, this had, like, the bangs pulled up back on the side of top of his head, and then the sides were just coming down in shiny, massive waves. I'm like, what the fuck? By the way, real men get their hair did at Truvy's. Anyway. Storm is out next, and he says, Bound for Glory is in 10 days, and it will be the biggest night of his life. It will be 1 year since the conflict between himself and Bobby Roode started. Storm says he isn't going into Bound for Glory to prove he's a better wrestler. He's going in to prove that he is the better man. Storm brings up King Mo, and he starts listing his achievements when Bobby Roode comes out. Roode says he doesn't give a damn about a Bellator fighter. And Storm shouldn't either, because in 10 days, Storm has to fight Bobby Roode, and it's not a wrestling match. No, no, it's going to be a fight.
It's going to be a fight.
Which means it's going to be a wrestling match.
Yes.
If logic goes the way it should.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Storm has been riding Roode's coattails for 4 years. Roode's sick of it. Storm says this has been building for a year, and it explodes at Bound for Glory. Roode countered with, nobody in the company can contain the Storm Roode explosion, so Hogan got King Mo. Rude says it will be a fight. Oh, wait, I already said that. Oops, sorry. And it's going to be a fight, and he's not going to stop until he ends Storm's career.
He's going to leave it bloody.
So did Chris Harris, and Storm still came back. Just pointing that out. He says no man can stop him, so King Mo can stay back. Rude says if Mo was in the impact zone, he'd say it to his face. And, of course, this brings out King Mo, which I'd like to point out one flaw. Why would you say if King Mo was in the impact zone if they've been fucking playing promos for him all night? They showed him arriving, for God's sakes. Did you not see him backstage?
Well, he wasn't technically in the impact zone. He was at the impact zone, but he wasn't in the impact zone.
He's the guy in the tiara and the sparkly jacket. He's kind of hard to miss.
So basically, what you're saying, it was a black version of Omega.
I'll let you go with that.
You know, with the tiara and the fancy, you know, robe.
Yes.
So he gets it on his throne.
I'll let you go with that, and he can yell at you later. Mother from another mother. Thump, thump. King Mo and Rude argue at the top of the ramp. Rude shoves Mo and begins taking off his jacket, which was extremely hot. Mo shoves Rude to the floor and the two stare at each other. Rude then slowly backs down the ramp on his ass and leaves Mo to head to the ring. Storm and the King exchange words, but it ends with Storm breaking up the beer and the two get drunk. And I knew that'd get him to call in.
Just had to push that fucking button, then you...
He did it!
Hi, Omega.
Fuck you.
So I take it you're going on mute so we get done with Impact?
I don't know. I'm in quite a mood to be loud right now.
Go right ahead.
No.
The show's already off the rails, dude. Do it. The show went off the rails in the first 2 minutes.
You two really had fun. I think you have more fun when I don't call in.
No, we have more the fun is getting you to call in.
And that time I wasn't even trying.
What's it gonna take this week?
Let's see, how hard do we have to push that?
Gee, the Canadian thing didn't work. That's a first. Gotta turn this up now.
And I wasn't even trying this time. I really wasn't.
Oh, you lie.
I wasn't. I was just making a joke.
Sure. He lies.
I do not lie. I do not tell a lie. I swear.
He lies.
I don't.
Anyway, let's just get through this. Segment ends with Storm raising Mo's arm in the air and the two get drunk in the middle of the ring, spilling beer all over, which I pity anybody else that had to wrestle in it afterwards.
Well, it mainly did outside the ring, so the ring was fine.
Yeah. And actually, it's a good thing Omega called in because he can discuss with us the next segment.
What?
Oh yeah, this is right up Omega's alley.
Brought to you by the Spanish Inquisition, we get an update on Joseph Parks from Aces and Eights. Basically, they show us that, well, Joseph Parks is just fine, and that each and every member of Aces and Eights is ready to die for the Brotherhood. Let's see, can Hogan and Sting say the same? Then they show Joseph Parks. He's sitting there all sweaty. They rip open her shirt, which was really, really wet. It kind of looked like a water balloon. I'm not going to lie.
They kind of wet him down.
They did. And then, well, they hold up a car battery charger and start rubbing the ends together. I'm sorry, when did Kane join the Aces and Eights?
I'm sorry, my mind went blank. As soon as he said Spanish Inquisition, all I could picture was Aces and Eights bursting and going, "Nobody expects Aces and Eights!"
They like this torture. I don't know why someone there likes this kind of sick torture they put on.
They I mean, it adds to it, but there's a certain point where you have to kind of start questioning it, because it's like, okay, the strapping him to a table last week and threatening to light him on fire, that was almost a bit much. Seeing as they wet him down, you're pretty much figuring that the implied action is going to be they're either going to strap those car battery clips to either his nipples or to his balls. So it's like...
I think they were going for the nipples.
I'm pretty sure they were going for the nipples. So it's like, at what point does this become too much?
Just some combinations of words that you wake up and don't expect to hear that day.
Like a car battery charger being attached to nipples.
I think they're going for the nipples.
But yeah. And I get why they're doing it, but again, it's all a little bit too graphic.
Well, wait till next week when they waterboard him.
Oh god, that's probably going to be next. Maybe that's what they had just gotten done doing.
Possibly. Now I'm disturbed. Anyway, moving on. Moving on, he says, to the main event of the evening. Bob Bully Ray, Austin Aries, Jeff Hardy. In a really quick match.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out Bully Ray pulling up his shorts and showing off his calves. I want to see him stop a cab in New York City doing that. Just because I know women who have done that, I now want to see Bully Ray do it. Just to see if it works.
You should tweet him that idea.
I don't know about New York. Maybe San Francisco.
Oh, really?
In case we haven't offended
you. You wanted me to call in. You pushed the button.
Rock pushed the button.
Anyway, the match.
The match was quick. The match was good. It was there. Bully Ray picks up the victory. And then Aries screamed at Hardy for a little bit, telling him that they should have won the match, or that he should have won the match, and the fans start to chant for Hardy, which just pisses Aries off more. He climbs the turnbuckle for the praise, but instead gets showered with booze. Aries leaves as Hardy raises his arms. And basically, we cut back to the bat where Sting and Hogan are ready to make their decision and select who is going to be Sting's partner against the Aces and Eights.
So the question is, who's it going to be? Who have they chosen? And they slowly came to the ring to tell us who they're choosing.
What you gonna do, brother?
Hogan basically cuts a long promo talking hell, become personal. You have something to say, Omega?
I'm just getting over the idea of the Impact Zone kind of turning on the underdog world champion who was never supposed to win and who's one of the best wrestlers in the world and cheering for the drug addict.
It happens every week.
Yeah, pretty much. It's Jeff Hardy. Don't you know he's popular with the people in Florida?
A lot of narcotics down here. I'm not surprised.
I thought that was a requirement to live in the state was to be a Jeff Hardy fan.
Well, no, because, you know, not all of us are over the obesity level.
But I'll be good.
Oh, why?
I'll be good.
No.
No, keep going, just keep going.
Say it.
I'm being good, just move on.
Why are you holding back now, Rock?
Well, you have the hair for a Jeff Hardy fan.
Uh-huh, and you've got the vagina for one.
Oh!
I was being good. You forced it out of me. Continue.
Oh yeah, we forced it out of you. We really twisted your arm. Wait, Omega. Put the car battery away. We're not gonna need it.
Oh, come on. Never let me have any fun anymore.
Sorry. Anyway.
Red light.
Anyway, they were talking about who's going to be the partner for Sting. Hogan kept running through the possibilities, which included Bully Ray, Kurt Angle, and there was someone else, but I can't remember. But then they agreed on Mr. Anderson to be the partner.
They picked the asshole? Really?
They picked the asshole. So Hogan calls out the asshole. The asshole didn't show up. Why? Because the aces and eights got to him. They beat him down.
Wait, who's watching Joseph Parks?
Fluffy Boo Boo?
Okay.
And Hogan demands, go check on him. And then Bully Ray comes to the ring and says, he wants to be the partner. He should be the one. He says that Sting needs to convince Hogan that he needs to go to war with him. He needs him as his partner. He needs a warrior. And he said he's that warrior, and he wants this match. Ray wants to be, you know, he's fighting for the brother. Sting's Hogan's brother. Ray wants to fight and be that brother. Or something. They said brother a lot. I got confused.
Yeah.
But in the end, Hogan agreed. So it's Bully Ray and Sting against the Aces and Eights, brother. By the way, the crowd during this whole segment was chanting, "We want Devon."
Yes.
Like, they paid no attention to, like, Bully Ray cutting this awesome promo. It's just, "We want Devon. We want Devon." It's like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
They only chant, "We want Devon," because without him, they can't chant, "We want Tables."
Well, at least they weren't chanting, "We want Tebow."
No one ever is chanting, "We want Tebow." Except for Alan.
New York is.
Yeah, well. Fuck the Tim Tebow.
Old country way.
Damn right.
So, anyway, speaking of our tweet of the week, which is right around the corner, maybe we should take a break? Or do we want to even bother to give this grade?
It was a show. It was average.
Yeah. Average show, pretty good. Good matches, highly entertaining. The in between the YouTube show is actually just a little bit more funny.
Yeah, it is.
Just because they can be a little bit less inhibited about what they say and what they do.
Yeah, it's because no one's really watching.
No, we are.
Well, we are. That's true.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was an average show. It built up the Bound for Glory. It's building towards the big show next week. It's, you know, the final week before, 3 days before, so we'll get everything built next week for Impact and Bound for Glory.
Woohoo!
Which means Omega gets to pick matches next week.
Woohoo!
But on that note, Lindsay, we should go to break.
Yes, so when we come back, we are going to be talking all about our tweet of the week, and we've got some discussions we're going to cover as well as our SmackDown look ahead. So you are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by TweetsAudio.com and PWMania.com. Whew, that's a lot of .coms. And we will be right back.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
I said WildTalkRadio.com.
I was just mentioning .com again, that's all. We all can't be fancy and have it work.
We face in this life, there's a lot of time can't erase. Showcase the skills you were given at birth. Live your life different what it's worth. Show off the style you perfect in life. Show off the way to make it right. Make it to the top of malprofession. Rule air.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Tuesday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insight from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Been fresh than wheat since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one eye.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say? Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we lost when we start talking hockey. Fourth.
I don't know.
Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
No, what's he doing? He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes so you guys can pick up.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's like pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Wreck right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and TweetAudio.com. Go to their website, buy their headsets. Please, they sponsored us. Please, go buy their shit.
Use the promo code WildTalk. Use the promo code WildTalk or WTR. You can save like at least $7 on your order, so like use it. It's kind of awesome.
They have headphones made of wood, people.
They do.
Go buy.
They do. And you know what's disturbing? I found people are posting on Facebook and Twitter about the Hulk Hogan porno. Apparently he's having sex and one of his ringtones is Hulk Hogan's song and it plays while he's having sex.
I did not need to know that. I could have gone my whole life.
Time for the tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place and I was so bitter. I until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alright, who wants to go first?
Sorry, I didn't hear you. My dick is still screaming.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I posted a picture and I put it in the chat room just now. Because AJ actually retweeted and made a comment about that picture. This is what happens if you talk over me at or kill my best friend. Another one of her good tweets was... someone was talking about how they made her. I don't want to blow anyone's mind here, but AJ is extremely tiny in person, like pocket-sized. Her reply was, fun-sized. I'm fun-sized.
Damn right, girl.
And the other one was from CM Punk. Happened on Monday. Marks, retweet.
And how many retweets is that up to, by the way?
It was Marks. Please retweet. 856 retweets and 117 favorites.
You fucking idiots.
So yeah, that's my tweets of the week.
Omega, do you have one or two or five?
I don't follow wrestlers, so I don't have anything.
It could be anything.
It doesn't have to be wrestlers, it can be anybody.
I don't follow anyone interesting, I'm sorry.
Do you want to pimp out your own shit then?
Have you said anything interesting on Twitter this week?
Every single time. No, I really don't have anything. Like,
God, you have to be so damn difficult.
Treat a TJ.
I'm sorry, I don't come prepared to the show that I'm not technically on, and I'm only here because somebody claimed I'd have a tiara.
Hey, we talked about it. You talked about it after the show. You would wear one.
No.
I swear he said it, didn't he?
I think he did. If it was a manly tiara. You know what? We'll get you King Mo's.
You're supposed to be the one I like.
You will always like me because I have boobs.
Fuck.
But just for all the punishment we're putting Omega through, go to tjomega.org or visit him on YouTube. He just put out Plastic Addict number 30, the number one worst transformer, so search out TJ Omega on YouTube.
Ooh.
I make fun of childish things.
You're surrounded by awesome things, though.
This is true.
Anyway, so... might also come from AJ Lee. Skipping through airport security is frowned upon, apparently. Also, I'm delirious, so there's a good chance that didn't happen. And then she goes on to say, TSA agents have entirely too much power at 5 in the morning. And apparently it's also not a Wednesday morning for her unless she's sitting there drooling on herself.
Good to know. Good to know.
And she also locked Justin Roberts in a broom closet last week so she could announce the first half of the show.
And then, you know, the other one was, she posted the picture, you know, talking about the picture people take of the kissy face or something like that and posted on Instagram. She found that it's called a ducky face and she finds that offensive to ducks.
Yeah, so... those are the tweets of the week.
See how that segment works? It's easy enough. We pull shit from Twitter.
So, what do we want to talk about first?
Want to go through SmackDown really quick?
Yeah, let's go through SmackDown.
So, on SmackDown, by the way, if you haven't seen WWE Main Event, you should check it out. They had a decent matchup between CM Punk and Sheamus. and there was a tag team tournament match that, you know, with an outcome that affects the tournament. Speaking of the tournament, the primetime players are in action against Kofi Kingston and R-Truth on SmackDown.
Cool.
Yeah.
More tournament. Yay, tag teams. Yay.
How about more tag team action? Who knew?
Looks like the Ryback is being unleashed on Primo. Poor Primo.
Poor Primo. Apparently they're not one of the featured teams in the tournament. Getting killed by Primo.
I think they're already out, aren't they?
Yeah, they did. They lost on Monday.
Poor
the Colognes.
Yeah. And then we're going to get a barn burner of a Divas match with Layla taking on Alicia Fox.
That's going to be the greatest matchup of all the times.
Because it has Alicia Fox.
Yes.
And of course we get... Well, here's something to wake you up. Wade's going to be on TV.
This will get him excited. In singles competition, WWE Intercontinental Champion The Miz takes on the World Heavyweight Champion Sheamus.
This is better.
CM Punk is going to take on Dolph Ziggler.
You have my attention.
Tensai takes on The Big Show.
Aaron, I'm losing you. You're losing me again.
Kane and Daniel Bryan are going to face Alberto Del Rio and David
Okay, you didn't even have to continue. You just said Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Fine. Kane and Daniel Bryan.
I'm in.
The Anger Buddies.
The Anger Buddies will be in action against Otunga and Del Rio on SmackDown.
So I will actually be watching that show because, well, Punk's going to be on SmackDown. When the fuck was the last time that happened? And, of course, we get Anger Buddies.
Yep. Versus the Million Peso Man and Shiny.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Million Oil Well Man. The Human Oil Well.
The Oil Barons.
There we go.
So yes, and we have more build up for the World Heavyweight Championship match at Hell in a Cell. That we promise there will be no debate on SmackDown.
You know, I don't have a problem with a debate, just as long as Sheamus wears pants. The only person that can get away with not wearing pants to a debate is CM Punk. Because him wearing pants is just silly.
It'd also be nice if they remember to nail the podium together.
This is true.
That they fell like a Mexican announcer's table.
Aww.
So wrong, but so true.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your preview of SmackDown this week. So everybody tune in, watch it, watch WWE Main Event. And also go to CassidyRiley.net and buy his shit. He just had a new baby. Bye. Bye, bye, bye.
Working that plug in there. Like a champ tonight.
Well, we forgot to do it last week, so.
Whose fault was that?
Mine. I'm a bad webmaster. So,
I know we all get political, but there you go. I'll post it in the chat room too.
Oh dear!
No, no, what now?
What did you find?
Ha! Oh jeez!
We don't get political on this show, but there's a picture, you know, of the debate last night, Obama and Romney, saying, "I am the tag team champions." No, I am the tag team champions.
No, we do get political on this show. Vote Ron Paul. Or if Ron Paul is not on your ticket, then write in Barry Schaefer 2012, because they will fix shit. They are working on getting us out of this snow globe.
Can I vote for the Vader Palpatine ticket?
If you wish.
Sweet.
But yes, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama are not your only choices. For the love of God, please, people, research third party candidates. Libertarian ticket, please research it.
Is Ross Perot running again?
No, Ross Perot is not running current again. Is he even alive? Are the zombies now getting a vote?
Ross Perot. Let's see if he's still alive for Lindsay. He is 82 years old.
Wow. Okay. Didn't realize he was still alive.
Does he still look like a Muppet on crack?
Yes. But here's the thing. He's worth $3.5 billion.
There's a Nickelodeon show that used to make fun of that all the time.
Like, he's worth that much money. Really?
He lives in Texas. Of course he's worth that much money. But anyway, back to my point. Research other candidates. If you want to vote from Romney or Obama, that's fine.
Oh, I see how he got his money.
He owned
Perot Systems, and that was bought by Dell for $3.9 billion in 2009.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
He was rich before then, too, though.
Yeah, he had money before.
Anyone want to buy Wild Talk Radio for $3.5 billion? We'll take it.
Dude, if you get $3.5 billion for this company, we all get a cut. Just saying.
We'll see.
No, there is no we'll see of this shit. We all get a cut.
Okay, fine. Anyway.
I'm sure.
God. I remember the first year that Perot ran, my dad actually voted for him. And I remember getting to high school and looking through the history books and finding out 1% of the population voted pro that year. My dad is in the 1%.
He's a 1%er.
He was a 1%er.
Your dad.
I think he was. I think my dad picked him just for the entertainment value because the guy was right out of like a fairy tale. Like all he needed was like the March hare beside him, and he would have looked perfect.
Oh, dear. So, anyway, moving on, let's get away from politics, because...
But we're talking about... Are we really talking about politics, or are we just making fun of Ross Perot?
fun of Ross Perot.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
The longer we stay on politics, the more Alice in Wonderland references I'm going to drop, so let's move on.
I mean, I've already accused an 82-year-old man of being dead, and we said he looks like a Muppet on crack. I suggest we move on. The views and suggestions of the hosts on this show do not necessarily represent views on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Who? What?
Wait,
what opinions do this network have?
None.
Whatever
we have
Tim
none.
Comes up with.
We have less opinions than Barack Obama.
Yeah, let's move on.
Our views and opinions are made by Tim Stein, because, well... He tells us to read a script.
Is Tim even listening still?
I don't know. Hey, Tim, thinking about your Hulk Hogan porn again?
Oh, shit.
We'll find out if he's listening. Anyway, move on. Move along.
All right.
Just got to keep dropping that reference in Kane Kent when he has to recap. It's going to go like, I hate you guys now. I'm done.
I'm keep waiting for you. I can't wait for Sunday just to see how many times you drop that reference in one show.
I'm not hosting that show Sunday, so all good.
Well, you don't know that you're hosting the show yet.
I'm not hosting the show. Tim's hosting it.
Unless Tim doesn't show up. Then you're hosting the show.
Nope.
Fine, Omega's hosting.
He just said, no. Tim just asked, what the fuck did you just say? Nothing, Tim. Nothing.
He mentioned your upcoming movie release.
Emphasis on release.
Hi. Well played, sir. Well played. Anyway. Oh, fuck.
You
can't
do these shows without me.
We wouldn't. We don't. We need you, Ramace. So, anyway, let's talk about the Anger Buddies, because, well, we all like them.
Yeah, let's talk about the Anger Buddies.
Okay, if Tim is... put Tim in the conversation so we can see what he's typing.
He's not typing anything. Just continue.
So, anyway.
We can't put Tim in the conversation. This means he has to actually call in. Do we really want him to call in?
No.
Okay. Because then he would scream about the... Yeah, anyway, move on.
Moving on. So, the Anger Buddies.
What about them?
Kind of had a thought about this late one night after the Raw post show. So we're seeing a definite change in the Kane character.
Yes, we are.
We're seeing him become more warm and friendly and cuddly. My question is this. It's quite apparent that them bringing him back in the mask has semi-failed. Just because they brought him back in the mask, in the full gimmick, and they didn't know what the fuck to do with it. And he's been kind of lagging along with it. So I have to wonder this. Is this a way of potentially doing yet another character change for Kane and potentially not only get rid of the mask once again, but perhaps turn Kane normal? And when I say normal, make him more human. Like, one day we walk in, and there's Kane, no mask, he's in regular street clothes, and he goes, "Hi, my name is Gerald. I'm no longer going by Kane, my name is Gerald, I'm cured."
It's an interesting thought. When you brought this up, I was like, yeah, they're sort of humanizing Kane a little bit with the storyline. He's not the monster he usually is. They're trying to get him to be more human-like, bringing out more of those qualities. I don't know if it's the way to get rid of the mask. I'm not really sure about that.
Well, I mean, even if he doesn't get rid of the mask, have him maybe come out in street clothes every once in a while.
Has Kane ever appeared in street clothes on WWE TV?
Once. That I know of. And that's when they ran the DNA test on Paul Bearer and Kane to discover that Kane was, in fact, Bearer's son. They showed them in a hospital with Kane sitting there in a ski mask.
That's the only time he's ever been not in clothes.
I don't even remember that.
Neither do I, really.
I'll have to find it. And then there's also, you know, various events for WrestleMania and that kind of shit, but normally, no, he shows up in his ring tights.
That's what I thought. I thought he just normally showed up in his gear except for WrestleMania. I think it's a way to turn him normal. I don't know... With the masking. I don't know. It's an interesting theory. What do you think, Omega?
I don't really see it as a way of making him normal, per se. It's just something that kind of naturally happens with the Kane character every time they revamp him. When they find out, well, there's only so much the monster can do, we've kind of got to go back to things that are a little bit more down-to-earth, a little bit more human. For a character to actually portray and for a storyline to actually progress. So you get these little trace elements of humanity. I mean, when he was shouting for Canaanites, doing a Hulk Hogan impression. Very humanizing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that was in the mask as well.
Yeah, but, you know, the mask stayed on. There's, you know, absolutely nothing, you know, really came of it. I mean, yeah. He turned heel when he took the mask off. But really, I think you could only play that card one time. I don't think it matters now whether Kane's in the mask or not. And I really think that this is a type of Kane you're only going to see through the storyline, because once you break this team up and once the anger management thing kind of goes to the wayside, Kane's just going, this only ends one way. It's when Kane snaps.
Right.
When Kane and Daniel Bryan both snap, which will be a total, which is basically, it's like a comic book writer's little secret where you can go this far with a character, but you can always leave this little bit of room to where if they just have this one little tick in the right direction, they're right back to square one, just in case we don't like what we did with them. Which is pretty much where we are now. I mean,
right.
The whole reason that we like these skits so much is because Kane's been a monster lately. You know, and it's just hysterical to see him, you know, in an apron pretending to be a chef or making an anger collage.
Which was a blank piece of paper that he then set on fire. But I was kind of curious because I was thinking about it, because it's a direction that they could take Kane that he's never gone before. And I've kind of always wanted to see him be evolved more. Like, we saw a great evolution in the last Undertaker storyline where he became much more cerebral.
So you basically want more Glenn than Kane.
No, not necessarily more Glenn.
But humanize him like he's Glenn. Kind of.
No.
No?
She wants Joseph Parks.
I want Joseph Parks, yeah.
Gotcha.
For them to basically, not even do that really, it's basically take Kane where Kane, because he's a psychopath. He can go off at any point. So why not take the psychopath and stick it in just a normal person so they're that unassuming psychopath that you never know when they're going to go off.
Right.
And you could almost do with Kane like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing. But it's just that's kind of the direction I wanted to always see him go, where he becomes much more cerebral and he learns how to infiltrate regular society and be a part of regular society and kind of be that unassuming, creepy, scary guy. You know, kind of like the horror villains almost. Which you don't know who the killer is until the very end, and then it's Kane.
Right.
But they're not going to do that, so. But that's kind of always where I'd like to see them go with him, is to make him just a little bit more normal. And still keep the crazy.
Still keep the crazy. I want to get Omega's opinion on this, because when we were doing a show probably last night, we were talking about things they could do with Kane and Daniel Bryan. Since, you know, they've been talking up Disneyland and stuff, we thought, okay, if they can't get this Disneyland because of trademarks and copyrights or whatever, let's take them to Chuck E. Cheese. Let's have them play in the ball pit together. Have them play skee ball. Have Daniel Bryan with
no.
Win like two tickets, Kane with a bunch of them.
Oh, you got that little, like, you get that little strength hammer that the Chuck E. Cheese had. Just Kane just ranking up tickets.
That too. And you see Daniel Bryan, he has a Chinese finger trap and gets stuck in it. And Kane has this big bear.
I told you the only way the bear works is if Kane does the, oh my god, I'm so fluffy, is so fluffy, I'm gonna die.
You can just imagine Daniel Bryan just standing there. All he's got is like a little spider ring and a giant pixie stick in his hand.
I see him with the Chinese finger trap get stuck in it and go, no, no, no. And can't get out of it.
See, I think you could have just as much fun at the local carnival.
That works, too.
You have, okay, Kane's deep frying his own food.
Yeah.
Kane is there with that little tiny fishing rod trying to catch little rubber duckies.
That would work, too. See, now that we put it on there, WWE will never do it.
I just want to see the two of them in a ball pit.
That's why we picked Chuck E. Cheese. They go in a ball pit. And throw balls at each other.
And then Brian, like, stands up and tackles Kane in the ball pit. And balls just explode everywhere.
It just...
Yeah. Although I still want Disneyland. I still want to see Kane and Dan O'Brien go to Disneyland.
I know.
And since they're out west this week, I'm kind of hoping that happens.
We shall see Monday night.
Fuck you, motherfuckers, for not coming to Salt Lake. Not that I can afford to go anyway, but I can at least afford to drive down to the airport and go wrestler stalking.
I just realized the sad part about them going to Disneyland.
What?
Of all the characters Disney's produced over the years, I don't think they have a goat.
Oh, that was the other idea
we had.
Do they?
Yes, they do. They have the one from Hunchback of Notre Dame. The girl's pet is a goat.
Man, I don't know if anyone would get that, though. I mean, you don't have anyone like Mickey or Goofy or anyone be in like a giant costume running around.
Yeah, but you could have them go to like the Disneyland petting zoo and there's a goat.
That was the other idea we had, the petting zoo.
Do that. Oh, you could do that at the fair, too.
WWE Creative, please send checks our way.
Yes, you can make the checks out, too.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that would be a great capstone. Like, you know, you guys are doing so great on your development. I think you deserve a reward. Kane, we're going to fulfill your wish. We're gonna go to Disneyland. Because it's something they really should have followed through on.
Yeah, they should. You can't just leave it there, of all places.
I mean, just because of how over that was, and the fact that people have made so many wrestling memes and that kind of thing of it, where it's, you know, it's, I love Kane. Be right back, going to Disneyland. Because it's something you never expect Kane to do. And it's all part of that humanization thing again. Because picture him walking around in full gimmick.
What movie are you from? Kids mistaking him for mascots. There you go.
There you go. I want to see this happen now.
I'll never get
it. You have a kid mistaking Brian for Phil from Hercules.
No, one of the seven dwarfs.
Yes! I like that better. He's grumpy.
Yes. I just picture them walking around with the Mickey ears.
Oh, Kane and Daniel Bryan and Mickey ears.
I'm picturing them going around in the teacups.
I can see that. Actually, right now is the perfect time to do this because Disney's doing their Halloween stuff. So if you think about it, it's the perfect time to take Kane in full gimmick to Disneyland. Because he would fit right in.
Oh my god.
I know we're overthinking this, people, but oh my god, this would be the most epic thing ever.
This is such gold.
It's comedy gold, and
they
don't even know it.
How did they ever do this?
This is why they need their own fucking show, I'm telling you. They need, like, their own 10 to 15 minute webisode on YouTube.
Yeah. Seriously, if like Urkel's show could do an episode from Disneyland, I'm sure they could work something out.
Yeah, I know. Full House has been at Disneyland. Urkel's been at Disneyland. Every Step by Step got to Disneyland. Why can't this show?
I mean, it's just
it's because those were all ABC shows. Besides that,
it works. It totally works. Just because it's something completely out of the norm for them, and we want to see it really badly.
Yeah, we kind of do. We're kind of obsessed. We're kind of obsessed over it.
Yeah. Let's see. So, speaking of things we'll never get, and a good transition away from Kane, let's talk about the other brother.
So what are we talking about The Undertaker for this week?
Well, there's some rumors.
Rumors?
WrestleMania rumors.
No. Who do they have him fighting now? Is he fighting Goldust this time?
Nope. Gold's in the name. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
No, I don't know. Who is he fighting now?
Release the Ryback.
Oh, no. Why? Why? Why are they going to make us have Ryback versus The Undertaker? Why?
Streak versus streak.
Yep.
But, no. Please, no.
By the way, if this does come to pass and Ryback beats The Undertaker, I will get in my car. I will drive to Connecticut, and there will be hell to pay.
They're not going to do it because they don't trust anyone with Undertaker in the ring anymore at his age. Let alone Ryback, who couldn't carry Tensai. Literally.
Oh, I know, but still. And, I mean, ultimately the decision does fall to The Undertaker. It's not up to Vince McMahon. As much as we like to think it is, I know Vince gets input, but it's ultimately up to Taker 1 if he's even going to fight this year. The other rumors are is he may not be on the card this year. There is speculation that with the dramatic exit last year that he's done. Especially with Michelle McCool recently popping out the kid.
Like he doesn't get enough time off for that anyway. If they're going to end it on a dramatic ending, it surely would have been the year before when he was carted out.
Yeah. But no, they just had to do it one more time.
I like the ending. I like that HBK, Triple H, and Taker all walking out together. That is the last of the old guard.
Yeah, it is.
But another rumor is also, Tommy's posting it in the chat room, the other rumor is obviously Brock Lesnar fighting The Undertaker. But I actually propose a third scenario. And Rock, you're going to have to help me out because I don't remember it fully the way I said it last night. But okay. here's a third idea. We all know that the supposed match at the Royal Rumble is CM Punk versus The Rock, where The Rock will supposedly take the title off of CM Punk. Right?
Right.
Now, I asked this. On Monday Night Raw, CM Punk said he was the most dominant man or the baddest man in the WWE right now. Somebody else took claim to that title, and they did it after SummerSlam, right before they left.
Jack Swagger?
No.
But, anyway, continue.
We'll beat the freak.
That sounded so wrong. Anyway, so you have CM Punk claiming the title baddest man in the WWE, and well, you have him being managed by Paul Heyman.
You do.
That's two things he has in common with Brock Lesnar.
Dum dum dum.
So, scenario wise, let's say this. Let's say Heyman's a setup. Say Foley's right, and Paul Heyman is going to screw CM Punk. What's a better way to screw CM Punk than to have Brock come in and destroy him for the title? Punk takes a couple months off, heals up, does what he needs to do, comes back. Still demanding for respect. Desperate for respect. Demands his title shot, his rematch, doesn't get it. Maybe you have him come back around, say the Royal Rumble. Well, somebody else has got a title shot at the Royal Rumble.
Would it be that Dwayne fellow?
Yeah, I think it is that Dwayne guy. So you have Brock versus Rock at Rumble. Punk is looking for respect. He's demanding respect. What would be the one way to get respect in the WWE?
Beating that Undertaker dude?
At WrestleMania. And then you could do, if you wanted to, Rock versus Cena 2 at Mania, or you could also do Punk versus Rock at Mania as well, if Taker doesn't come to fruition, but that frees up Punk to potentially face Taker.
It's not a bad scenario. What do you think, Omega?
Didn't I mention something about this at one time?
Oh, sure, try to take credit.
I'm pretty sure I mentioned something about if Punk wants respect, there's no one more respected than The Undertaker.
You may have, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember if you did.
Oh, psh. I can't believe that.
We're supposed to pay attention to every word you say.
Yes!
I listen to only, every three words.
I'm sorry, Omega. Half the words you say get interrupted by Tim.
This is true.
Yeah, alright, yeah. See, the scenario that played out in my head would have been... God, see, I hate to go on a spree of rematches, but Cena and Rock 2, Triple H and Lesnar 2, because those are both matches that they really did want to do. And that leaves, you know who are the your top guys who don't have anything to do? That's Punk and Taker. Punk's one of the few guys I would trust in the ring with Taker right now.
At the same time, I think I heard Punk say he doesn't want to fight Taker.
He said that there's no heat in it, and at this point, that kind of match needs heat. It needs something to make people want to see it, and he doesn't think that the two of them have anything going on right now that would spark any interest.
Because I think he's been there, done that with Undertaker.
Yeah, they had a pretty big feud that they ended up going in Hell in a Cell, which, by the way, I'm surprised they haven't mentioned yet, in 2009.
Which is documented in new CM Punk DVD, Best in the World, available this Tuesday.
Watch it, it's good. But yeah, it's just kind of one of those scenarios to throw out there, but then again, we have to see if Taker's even going to show up, because the supposed setup is going to happen at Survivor Series.
Yeah, it's interesting. All the talk is, will The Undertaker even wrestle this year? I think he is, because just by him showing up at Raw 1000. I think that was the key for him to show Russell. If he was done, I wouldn't have had him show up at Raw 1000.
No, he needed to be at Raw 1000 either way.
Not if he's done. If he's done, I wouldn't have had him show up, which means he's not done.
I would have had him show up either way, just because he is one of the only people left that was on the first Raw. And everybody was expecting him to be there.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's not one of those things of whether he was going to... And he didn't wrestle on the show. He threw Jinder Mahal around a little bit. That I wouldn't have had him do. So I can agree with you in the fact that he got in the ring and he got a little physical. I can see that maybe he's not quite done there. Because we all know Hell in the Cell was the test to see if his body would hold up. And he came out of it fine.
So that we hear, yeah, he came out okay.
Yeah, no worse for the wear. I mean, he's still got... God, I can't imagine. I feel bad for that man when he's got to get up out of bed in the morning. But...
You know, at 4 a.m. to check on the kid.
Yeah. Actually, he's probably awake at 4 a.m. So, I don't know, it's a couple interesting scenarios. Another one is Taker-Cena.
Taker-Cena could work. But at the same time, going back to the whole thing with CM Punk and Brock Lesnar, and getting Brock Lesnar more involved, that's the positive of let John Cena heal up.
Yeah.
Give John Cena some time to where he can heal his body and not be around, and it brings back star power to the show. Because if you think about it, that it was missing this week. There was a lack of star power on that show.
There was. I mean, Punk is a big name, and Kane and Daniel Bryan are names. And, you know, there's nothing to their discredit on that. It's just, we've talked about it before. There is the John Cena level, and then there's everybody else. And they don't have anybody except John Cena on that level. And if you look back to the Attitude Era, and not to make this comparison, but they had multiple stars on that same level that they could pull out at any given time.
Yeah, you had at the very least, you had your Austin, you had your Rock, you had your Taker, and you had Triple H. We're all at the prime at that time.
Right. And I mean, the same thing speaks true for the Federation years. Before that, you had several stars that were big names that you could cycle in and out of the main event and have on your shows and that you could use. And they've now gone to this model of they're putting all their eggs in one basket. And we're now seeing what happens with that. We proposed the scenario on the show. What happens if John Cena gets hurt? This is what happens. You have no one to fill that spot except John Cena.
They've always had potential.
There's a lot of people with potential, yeah.
Yeah. Because you had a lot of guys come up who were real close to getting a little bit of a lift there and maybe rising to that level, but they always pulled back. It's almost... I almost want to say that WWE is scared of trying anything that isn't Cena. If only because they don't want to risk damaging what Cena has already by introducing another star.
Well, I think they're afraid to make a star because they're going to leave. And we're kind of seeing that in the Divas division, and this is a good place to transition into the next topic, is we're seeing girls like the Bellas, and we're seeing girls like Kelly. They get their foot in the door. They're there for a couple years, they get their name out there, and then when they get big enough and famous enough, they leave. Bobby Lashley did it. Brock Lesnar did it. You know, it's like they get enough exposure and they use WWE as that stepping stone to get to that next level. Mm-hmm. Now, not everyone is like John Cena in the fact that they're going to get to be a huge uber megastar and stay. And there's nothing saying that, you know, 5-10 years down the road, John Cena won't say fuck it and go to movies like The Rock did.
You know, I just had an epiphany.
You just had an epiphany?
Yeah.
Well, do share.
What do you want to say that WWE Films was produced and created and concepted just to ruin everyone's aspirations of that?
I would believe that.
Okay, guys, you don't have to go to Hollywood. You can go and produce a movie for us. You know, we'll market it. We'll handle everything. We'll advertise it on our TV shows so it's exposed to your fans. And then they go off and do the movie, and they make sure it's a shit movie with shit actors. They give a tyrant of a director, no catering. Just absolutely shit experience. And they come back going, I don't ever want to do a fucking movie ever again. And then it bombs at the box office and does shit at DVD sales. It's like, yeah, you don't have a future in this. Get in the ring.
Get back into that ring.
I can see that. I can totally see that. Because, I mean, if you notice, John Cena hasn't made a movie in a couple of years.
There's a reason for that.
Well, yeah.
There's a reason they have to keep getting new Marines.
Well, I mean, it's... And now it seems their movie guy is Randy Orton. Because when they started WWE Films, it was initially John Cena and Steve Austin. And okay. Now they're moving... We're not going to bring up Cena Weevil. That didn't happen.
May 19th.
Actually, by the way, I did get the book and I read the book. Read the book, people. It's way better than the movie. Way better. It's called Vince McMahon's Got His Hands on That Screenplay and Ruined It.
But you were transitioning.
I was transitioning, yeah. Anyway, they're moving now towards Orton. So maybe... And I guess maybe for more Orton's sake, it's they have to figure out how to justify him now. Because they're not going to trust him with a title. It's quite apparent they're very hesitant to put him back into the main event. So they have to justify the money they've spent on him somehow. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do it by putting him in a movie.
He's always wanted to be an action star.
Yes, because he so has the personality for it.
You don't think he does? I swear he's the greatest, going to be the greatest movie star of all times.
No.
No?
But I'll tell you who will be the greatest movie star of all times when she finally gets her acting career off the ground. Kelly! Kelly!
Holla!
So I propose this, and then we can talk about this real quick, and then we'll move on to the question of the night. But, so we've seen a lot of departures in the WWE Divas division.
Yeah, we have.
In the last 6 to 8 months. And there's the potential that we're going to see more. Eve has gotten engaged. It's assumed that once she gets married, she will want time off for the wedding and the honeymoon, and there's no guaranteeing she will come back after she gets married. It's up in the air what would happen to Brodus Clay's girls if he gets repackaged. Oksana's been taken off TV. AJ is your general manager. That leaves Caitlin. So the Divas division is kind of in disarray. And of course there is Natty as well. And Beth is still kind of up in the air as far as whether she's leaving or not. Or if she will come back after Edge's surgery. But I ask you guys this. Where do you see the Divas division in about 6 months, say around WrestleMania?
Around WrestleMania, it's going to be built around some ultra heel Divas champion. Let's call her Eve. And she will be defending the Divas championship against Access Hollywood reporter Maria Menounos at WrestleMania.
Oh dear. Again?
This time it's for the title.
Maria Menounos wins.
So we're just going to have an entire WrestleMania booked around rematches.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Eve wasn't involved last year, was she?
Yeah, she was.
Was she?
Because remember, she wore those white trunks and some makeup got on it, and looks like she had a track mark.
That was Maria. I thought Eve. Eve was it Eve in that match?
Yeah, Eve was in that match.
All right. Okay.
I think she was on Maria's team.
No, that was Maria and Kelly against Eve and Beth, I guess.
Yeah.
God, I can't remember the WrestleMania Divas match. That's sad.
No,
well,
that's
it's not
expected.
Like we watched it. Come on, you all, you know we all got up and got popcorn at that point.
Well, I went for cookies, but yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, we got up at that point. But I mean, it's just, it seems like their division is dwindling. Is this the chance maybe for them to, with the signing of Sarah Del Rey, the anticipated hopeful trainer of the girls down in FCW, is this a chance for them to revamp the Divas division?
You would
think. To just hit that reset button.
You would think. But at the same time, it's like, okay, who are they going to build it around? As much as we Eve is the best one to build it around right now. Everyone on that roster, sans Natty. Because, you know, they seem to not want to build it around her.
Right.
But as the heel, Eve is the one you should build it around. But I don't know who you would have her feud with. I don't know. There's like... I don't know. I can't even think of who the fuck's in the division at this point.
Here and I'm trying to name off names. And I'm like, fuck, I can't think of anybody. Shit.
I can't think of a babyface in that division.
No.
Layla's technically a babyface. Caitlyn's technically a babyface.
Alright then. But we've seen Layla already. I guess Caitlyn's the option.
Yeah, they're kind of doing that now where Eve took her out to take the belt. But I read an interesting story, and again, it's on the internet, you don't know how true it is, where right down the view in WWE is that they have two types of girls. They have the girls who are the models, who use the company as the leg up, and leave, and then there are the girls who stay, like Natty, like Beth Phoenix. I mean, do we see them now maybe thinking, hey, maybe it's not such a good idea to have these model girls, and maybe they go more after the wrestlers. And maybe they do build a division around Natty.
I would hope they would want to build a division around Natty because she's talented enough for it to be built around. I just don't know if they would do that. The whole scenario was great. I don't know if they would.
The hard part is right now, even though you have Sarah Del Rey going into hopefully going into train the next crop of divas, you've got Triple H gaining power, who's not really up on the divas right now. That's the backstage rumor, is that he is not a fan of the divas division, so you might not see them getting any time. No.
Sans AJ.
Wrestling. Female wrestling.
Yeah.
He doesn't like. In 6 months' time, I could see a championship match at WrestleMania. Honestly, 6 months from now, after WrestleMania, I don't think you have a women's division. Because right now it's just getting so thin, and WWE just doesn't seem to want to put any of the focus or the storylines around the divas who are going to stick around. Your Natalias, your Beth Phoenixes, the ones who honestly love the industry and want to be in that ring.
Right.
Those are the ones who are going to get, they're the ones who are getting frustrated with it, and you could build around them. You could. Then they wouldn't get frustrated, they wouldn't go anywhere, and you'd have a diva that could stick around for 10 years and have a hero's departure when they retire. You could have the next crop of Trish Stratus and, God help me, Lita.
Well, I mean, if you really think about it, Trish and Lita came in around, what, 99, 2000?
Yeah, 99.
Yeah.
Trish was gone within 6 or 7 years, and same with Lita.
Yeah, true, but they did have a decent Divas division at the time, and they focused around the ones... we got lucky. Let's put it that way. We got really lucky that two of the most charismatic Divas at the time could also actually wrestle in the ring, too. And you had a division of other female wrestlers who could also wrestle in the ring. These days, no, not quite so much. You have models that have to be trained and actual wrestlers that have to be prettied up, I guess.
Yeah. And what's sad is Beth and Natty aren't ugly girls.
No. I honestly think the best bet you've got right now would be to... kind of do the thing that you've been doing with Eve and AJ. I mean, maybe it's time to retire the Divas belt for, give it like a 6 month period where you don't have a women's division at all. You have a lot more female valets and managers. You have some backstage. You have someone doing interview correspondence. Have females who are involved in the storylines. Have them that are, actually on-camera presences, and then come up and say, you know, we haven't had a Divas wrestling division in a long time, and you start making it this thing where the girls want to wrestle. You know, now that they've had time, you know, to train up, you know, hopefully Sarah Del Rey trains them properly.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, it's got, we're gonna have Divas matches again. And you build it up so that, you know, it's kind of this thing, you know, that the crowd supports and gets behind. And all of a sudden, here you have all these, you know, FCW trained, Sarah Del Rey trained female wrestlers who go on to Raw and actually put on decent matches out of nowhere. You know, where you completely reinvent what you think of when you think Divas wrestling.
I like it.
Well, just to kind of go along with that point, I mean, looking at the roster right now, they could do that. I mean, Eve is Booker T's secretary. AJ is a general manager. Oksana is a manager. Valet. Alicia Fox you could have manage. Beth Phoenix is leaving. Cameron and Naomi are managers. Or valets. Dancers. Whatever.
Oh, God.
Caitlin and Natty.
What you thought, Omega?
Cameron and Naomi as the backup dancers for the primetime players.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, dear.
Help us all, please.
Caitlin and Layla and Natty, you'd kind of have to figure out something. Rose is a valet. And Tamina Snuka, you'd have to figure something. So there's four girls, technically, you'd have to figure something with. But if you look at the division right now, the majority of them have been transferred out or are already in a non-wrestling capacity. And you essentially have four girls that you could term wrestlers. That's kind of sad.
It is kind of sad.
Yeah. Like we get one thing back at a time. So okay, you can, you know, okay, we're bringing in Karma. We're gonna make some serious diva competition now. No, that didn't work, did it? Okay, new plan. Bring back tag teams. Huh? We got a ton of tag teams now, huh?
Well, let me go with this. Does it hurt the company to lose the Divas division and just have them be managers or valets or commentators like you suggested? I mean, they're focusing more on the tag division. They're focusing more on the mid-card division.
Right. Well, right now it doesn't hurt them because the Divas are a minor point at best in the WWE, and the ones who are actually doing the best work is your AJ, is your Eve, the ones who are more involved in the storyline side of things.
Right.
And some of the strongest things they've had in the women's division in, geez, years. I'm getting a buzzing.
Lindsay,
sorry.
Move your phone. Stay off your phone.
Sorry.
So it's okay. It's just... I wear the headset so long, I have to make sure it's not in my head or something.
No, we figured out it's her phone.
It's my phone.
Okay.
Sorry, it's like a crutch.
Stay away from the phone.
I don't wanna.
Just go away from the phone.
See.
So anyway, okay, well... Yeah, I kind of have to agree with Omega and Rock a little bit, where I don't see a division, or if there is one, it's going to be very, very reduced.
Mm-hmm.
Because, frankly, it already is. But, yeah, I have little to no hope for the Divas division, although I do know that AJ being GM, Eve being Booker's secretary, especially with the AJ being GM, those are temporary. As the division gets thinner... and they need more girls, they're going to start to pull them out of those roles and put them back in the ring. Like, I would not be surprised if AJ goes sooner than later just so they can have her go back in the ring and wrestle. Because she can't really do it as GM.
No, she can't.
just like it's, I kind of see it as a contradiction for Eve to be Booker's secretary and she's the Divas champion.
She's his assistant. Not secretary, assistant.
Same goddamn thing.
She has no power, so she can wrestle.
Oh, but she can suspend Beth Phoenix for 5 minutes.
She attempted to. Doesn't mean she could.
I know. But, yeah, I mean, you see where I'm going with this.
I know.
But, yeah. So, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully they, you know, hit the nuke and destroy and start over.
We can only hope. Because, you know, their Divas division is in TNA.
Oh, and happy 15th anniversary, Kane.
I thought we would have a whole show dedicated to that.
I couldn't be fucked.
The old regime would have.
I know. But this is the new regime.
The better
regime. The new regime couldn't be fucked.
Anyway, question of the night.
Question of the night is as follows. If you could take, what is your, fantasy booking. What is your WWE versus TNA dream match or dream card? And I hear we got some awesome answers from the fans on this.
We have a Kurt Angle versus Daniel Bryan in a 60-minute Iron Man match.
Can Kurt go 60 minutes without getting injured?
That's a good point. Tamina Snuka versus ODB.
That'd be good.
We have a CM Punk versus Austin Aries. All Divas, including Lillian Garcia and Vicky Guerrero versus all the Knockouts, including Christy Hemme and Sophie Calval. Sting versus Taker. We have a few for Sting versus Taker, but here's a whole card. Aries versus Punk, Sting versus Taker, AJ versus Bryan. Daniels and Kazarian versus Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, Zema Ion versus Evan Bourne, Jeff Hardy versus John Cena, Abyss versus Kane, and a Knockouts versus Divas Battle Royal, Sting versus Undertaker, CM Punk versus Kurt Angle, Bryan versus Styles, Daniels and Kazarian again versus Sin Cara and Mysterio versus Bully Ray and Christian in a TLC winner takes all tag team title match. Oh, God, it continues. Austin Aries versus Damian Sandow. Jeff Hardy versus The Ryback. Joe versus Sheamus. The Miz versus James Storm.
Someone really just wants to see Jeff Hardy killed.
Someone really does.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Zack Ryder versus Robbie E. Terror versus Natalya. Stephanie McMahon and Dixie Carter in a cat fight in Piper's Pit. The broadcast team being JR, Jerry Lawler, Mike Tenay, Lillian Garcia, and Christy Hemme rotate as the announcers, the ring announcers. Earl Hebner is teased to be working both sides, and a screw job may come in the main event. We have an AJ Styles versus Christian, another Sting Undertaker, Punk versus Aries versus Bryan versus Joe. Joe versus Brock, Punk versus Aries Styles, Brian King versus Kofi.
God
King.
Damn.
King. Is that King Mo, I guess?
I guess so.
Bobby Roode versus Cena. Storm versus Orton. Rhodes versus Anderson. Triple H versus Kurt Angle. Natalya versus Mickey. Terror versus Beth Phoenix. Ryback versus Hernandez. Sin Cara versus Kid Cash. Williams versus Cesaro, Taker versus Sting, Kane versus Abyss, Henry versus Bully. And we continue. Jeff Hardy versus Hey, we have a lot of responses. CM Punk versus Jeff Hardy. Punk versus Styles. And we have another full card. Samoa Joe versus Big Show. Angle versus Bryan. AJ Styles versus Cena. Punk versus Aries. Primetime Players versus Beer Money. Sting versus Undertaker. Hogan versus McMahon. Jarrett versus Triple H. Let's see. We have TNA versus Team WWE Elimination Style Tag Team Match. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Sting, and Kurt Angle versus CM Punk, John Cena, Randy Orton, and Sheamus. AJ Styles versus CM Punk, Austin Aries versus Daniel Bryan, Kane versus Abyss in a hardcore match, Daniels versus Ziggler, Orton versus Sting, Beth Phoenix versus Tara, Samoa Joe versus Sheamus, and in a ladder match, RVD, Rey Mysterio, Kofi Kingston, and Chris Sabin. Chris Pierce sent in Punk versus Joe, Kane versus Abyss, Ziggler versus Aries, Sheamus versus Hernandez, Orton versus Storm, Cena versus Rude, Mysterio versus Styles, Kingston and Evan Bourne versus Daniels and Kazarian, and in the Battle of the Beards, Daniel Bryan and Eric Young. I think I have one more from King Kittens. Yes. Anger Buddies, Dolph Ziggler, CM Punk, and Randy Orton taking on Daniels, Kazarian, Austin Aries, Storm, and Rude in a Survivor Series 5-on-5 elimination style matchup. Cena would ultimately face someone like AJ Styles, as well as Sheamus versus Parks, Abyss, in a big-on-big style matchup. And I'm done.
Damn.
Thank you for all the people who contributed to that.
Yes, thank you. Very impressive. Well done. Bravo!
And there's a lot of matches I would want to say there.
Yeah, you're going through them. I'm like, that would be good. That would be good. That would be good. By the way, for everybody that said for, like, Angle versus Hunter, circa 2000 or 2001, YouTube it.
Been there.
Done that.
Before the injuries.
Same thing with Tara and Beth Phoenix. They went in WWE a couple times. Not that I'm discounting the answer. It's an awesome answer. But if you do actually want to see it, it should be out on YouTube. So, Omega, do you have anything?
CM Punk versus Christopher Daniels. It's over a trip to a bar where he tricked him into drinking an appletini.
Nice.
Oh, I should mention that the Canadian said Punk versus Joe. Dream match.
ROH.
What about you, Rock?
A lot of those matches they pose pretty good. Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler could be good.
Yeah.
James Storm. Who would James Storm fight? Him against Ziggler would be good again. Ziggler's a good choice for some of these guys in TNA.
Yeah. He's got the work rate for it.
Yeah, there's always the Undertaker and Sting, but that match would suck now.
Undertaker Sting from 5 years ago.
Would be passable.
You could put James Storm up against Braden Walker.
Happened.
No, it didn't.
Not against Braden Walker.
He never fought Braden Walker.
You know what? Chris Harris is his witness protection alias, okay? They fought.
But, yeah, I can't disagree with a lot of the things with CM Punk. Aries is a match that people would want to see. CM Punk versus AJ Styles is one I would want to say.
Yeah, that would be a good match.
So what about you, Lindsay?
I know that I would up the Battle of the Beards and have EY, and I've said it before, EY, Brian, and Sandow go with Norris as the guest referee. I would do Aries Punk just as have for the greatest man that ever lived versus the best in the world. Winner take all. Mm-hmm. Champion versus champion. Taker versus Singh from a couple of years ago. And I would actually want to see James Storm fight Steve Austin.
Here's one if we're going back years. DX versus Beer Money.
Yeah. I also want to see the Anger Buddies versus Daniels and Kazarian. just to see what they make of them.
Just imagine Kane looking at the Apple Teeny.
Yes.
And there you have it.
And then, of course, there's Joseph Parts and Abyss versus Kane and Gerald.
Oh, God.
Well, it is TNA.
It is TNA.
Where was Abyss versus Mankind?
They did that, didn't they? Oh, wait, no. He fought Cactus Jack, didn't he?
He might have. He probably did.
And I'm sure it was in something hardcore and bloody and...
Probably was.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our quest of the night.
Yay! So yes, we do this every week. We usually post a day of the show, so if you're new to the show, you want to get in on the action, just watch out for it on Facebook and Twitter, as well as... You don't post it on the website, do you?
No.
No. So Facebook and Twitter, look us up. We're too tired to notice, but yeah. So, do we have anything that's bugging us aside from Omega's gripes about comments tonight that we want to, you know, cover?
I honestly, I'm in a good mood. I'm good.
All right, Omega.
Fuck tiaras.
Well, at least it wasn't fuck bronies this time.
Fuck something. It's usually something pissing me off that gets me to call in. Pissed off at Logitech because this game controller that I haven't even owned in years is starting to wear out.
Oh. Hashtag geek problems.
Well, you know you play a lot of old school, like Mario style, run to the right games when the right direction stick is the first one to go?
Yeah. But yeah, on that note, yeah, fuck this college shit as far as majors and minors are concerned. It would be so much easier if I could major and minor in the same thing I'm majoring in, damn it.
But you can't.
I can't because it's double dipping.
You're not allowed to double dip. You should know this.
I know. But double dipping is awesome.
Yes, but you're not allowed to double dip.
Especially if it gets you out of college faster. Anyway, on that note, do we have anything we want to push for next week?
I don't know. I don't have anything for next week. I gotta get through a show Sunday.
Well, Rock, why don't you tell us about the show Sunday and all the other fine programming on this network?
As my microphone muted on its own.
Well played.
Like, the volume went down. I was like, why did that go down? Anyway. I should pimp everything now.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Wake Up Call with Johnny Cashmere. He has guests on the program. I can't remember who the fuck's on it. Check out, follow Johnny Cashmere on Twitter. I believe it's at Johnny Cashmere. And he'll tell you who his guests are on the program. He's been tweeting all about it all week long. Hashtag JK's Wake Up Call on Twitter. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CBU Radio. Join myself, Rob Parks, and Subway as we gear up to 250 episodes where we're going to throw a big party and everyone's invited to call in and talk and bullshit.
Yay!
And basically have fun. Sunday, it's Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. If you missed our wonderful, exciting, awesome interview with the Rated R Superstar Edge from last week, check it out in the archives at wildtalkradio.com. But we'll be back for Sunday night for Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Join Tim Stein, Omega, and Mace as they talk about all the things we didn't talk about here tonight. Or probably some of the stuff we did. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. 3 hours of Raw, we condense it into 45 minutes, so check it out. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at a special start time of 10 p.m. Eastern. Alicia from WSU will be on the program, so check that out. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show. Should be back on the air after people get all healthy and stuff. So you want to check that out at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and then we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork, and twitter.com/wildtalkradio, WTR Productions, and check out the WTRFs.
Sweetness. Omega? Are we going to have to twist your arm to get you to promote TJTV and TJ Omega?
Go watch my crap on YouTube.
He finally put something up.
I put out a pretty damn big video. Go watch.
And how can they do that?
It's over at YouTube at TJ Omega. Or you can go to... Well, you can't go to TJOmega.org because it's not archived there yet.
Slacker.
Get on it, man.
Sorry, the entire website is only half built right now.
Slacker.
Telling you.
But yeah,
we're never going to take over the world at this rate.
I know. Come on, man. We only have a few more weeks.
we have till December to take over the world, goddammit, before it blows up. So hurry.
How do you know the Mayan prophecy isn't my plan already?
Because as clever and awesome as you are, you're not that awesome. If he has a secret TARDIS that he's not telling us about,
Little
where he went back and he carved a 2,000-year-old calendar to predict the end of the world just to spell out his plans for everybody to see, then I want pictures. That is the ultimate pictures or it didn't happen.
How do I... Okay, so I have to get a photo of myself with a Mayan chieftain.
Yes. Carving.
And then somehow get away without convincing him that I just stole his soul. Okay.
Just don't use the flash. It'll be fine. He'll never know.
So we plug this shit. Now it's your turn.
Yes. So, follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LINSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, where I design all sorts of different websites, graphic design, that kind of fun shit. Go to my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com. You can go see some of my artwork, digital and traditional. And, of course, go to CassidyRiley.net. Get all the latest updates on your favorite superstar, the VIP Cassidy Riley. Please go to the shop section. Buy his shirts. Buy his merchandise. Please. And, of course, listen to the wonderful WildTalkRadio.com. Check out our shows. Check out our site. Follow us on Twitter. Go to tweakedaudio.com, buy their headphones, they're awesome. Go to PW Mania for all the latest news and updates. And listen to the damn show. Tell your friends. And for those of you who are listening for Christopher Daniels, we do apologize. Seems to be a scheduling hiccup. It happens.
We hope to have him on next week.
Yes, we hope to have him on next week. So, tune in next week. So, does anybody have anything else before we go?
No, we got like 10 seconds before the song runs out.
All right. For Rock, for Omega, for Tim Stein, who's yelling at us in Skype, you are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by Tweaked Audio and PWMania.com. Later.
Come.